Hello, and welcome to 15 Minute History.
I appreciate the potato only as a protection against famine. Except for that, I know of nothing more eminently tasteless. The Physiology of Taste, Anthome Briat Savarin.
William H. McNeil is a professor emeritus at the University of Chicago, the author of over 20 books, and the winner of the National Book Award. His experience and background enabled him to write an interesting essay in the What If series. In it, Professor McNeil highlights a pivotal discovery made by the conquistador Francisco Pizarro, outlines its worldwide cultivation, and what may have happened had such cultivation not occurred. From 1531 to 1532, Pizarro and his group conquered and destroyed the Inca civilization. Climbing the Andes Mountains, they probably never questioned the ability of the Inca Empire to feed itself in the absence of cattle and wheat. That was, by most estimations, the farthest thing from the mind of the conqueror. Amongst the riches they stole and the mining they conducted, a resource emerged that McNeil believes would have altered history had it not been discovered and transplanted throughout the world. That discovery was the potato. How could a simple vegetable have such an impact? The reason is multifaceted. At that time in history, grain was the staple crop for most civilizations. The potato is vastly superior to grain in many ways. Its calorie yield per acre is 2 to 4 times higher than that of grain or rice. In addition, a single potato has enough vitamins and minerals for a well-balanced diet when combined with fat and dairy from cows. Recent studies have shown the potato to be good enough as a standalone food, with several fad diets using the spud as a starting point for weight loss. Unfortunately, like all good resources, there is a downside. For the Incas, this fact prompted them to create a method of drying the normally moist vegetable. Called chuno, the dried potatoes could be stored and saved over long periods of time. Through this method, the Incas developed a system of supply and trade for chuno across the region. When the Spaniards pillaged and plundered the civilization, they took over this administrative faculty to feed the thousands of conscripted workers who mined the silver out of the mountains and into the ships bound for Spain. This silver financed Spanish military power, resulting in more conquest and further attempts at expansion. As the ships flowed back and forth from Peru to Spain, the sailors responsible found chuno to be a better, more sustainable resource than grain. It is not recorded exactly when the first potato reached Spain, but its reputation for sustenance and nutrition soon spread to the Basque fishermen and other laborers across the continent. It was these fishermen who introduced the potato to Ireland, where it began to flourish in the western region of Connaught by 1650. This was good timing, as Oliver Cromwell had just defeated the Irish in this region and intended to solve the Irish problem by confiscating lands, pushing out Irish landowners, and giving said lands to English settlers. The Irish found that they were able to sustain themselves on the tuber, only needing small patches of land to grow and cultivate the vegetable for themselves and their families. The English, on the other hand, were not so accepting and instead tried to stick to the bread and cheeses to which they were so accustomed. The wet, cold climate of the region was not conducive to raising grain. In contrast, it was ideal for the potato. This resulted in the Irish repopulating the region and, over time, retaking the lands that had been confiscated, prompting the new English settlers to return home. As McNeil states, thanks to the potato, the majority of the population of Ireland remained Irish. As the first potatoes were being integrated into Irish soil, others were being sent across Europe. Peasants in Spain and Italy were introduced to the new food and were beyond satisfied. In addition, the spread of the potato was fueled by the peasants' ability to hide it from army requisition. During this time, soldiers following the Spanish road would forage for supplies as they went, often confiscating all the grain they found. As a result, farmers and families along this route would often find themselves suddenly dependent on the forgotten plant. This reality spread into northern Italy and into the Rhineland, resulting in continued sustenance for peasants, who found themselves at the mercy of ever-increasing conflicts. The Thirty Years' War resulted in unspeakable horrors across Europe, with soldiers on all sides ravaging food stores wherever they were found. It was the potato, silent and quiet in its small garden bed, that survived these plunderings and saved millions from starvation and death. A century later, Frederick the Great of Prussia was the first government official to notice, introduce, and cultivate the new food throughout modern-day Germany. This cultivation fed his armies and saved his people during the Seven Years' War, who, despite suffering repeated invasions, did not experience famine. This cultivation directly influenced Prussia's ability to stay alive and never surrender. Without it, it can be argued that Prussia's losses to their enemies may have drastically altered its history. Would Otto von Bismarck have been in a position to unify Germany in 1870 had Prussia not persevered through the Seven Years' War? Maybe not. As that war came to a conclusion, French, Austrian, and Russian governments saw the impact of the potato, transplanted it for their own cultivation, and soon the new food was everywhere. As populations in Europe began to flourish in 1750, so did the supply and spread of the potato. As a result, well-fed European nations grew in conjunction with the increased supply and became a dominant force throughout the world. This increasingly important source of nutrition made conflicts like the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars more bearable for rural populations. It is impossible to imagine the famine and additional destruction without such a supply. The survivability afforded by the potato fueled European expansion and migration into the New World, resulting in transformations both in culture and politics that directly influenced the world we see today. What if? What if the potato had never been carried on the ships from Peru to Spain? What if it was never introduced? McNeil speculates that history as we know it would not have occurred, and the world we know today would probably be very different. If Pizarro had taken the spoils of war and simply left Peru without feeding miners and using the system of trade, then the Chuno would have died along with the civilization that harvested it. Without the potato being sent and cultivated in Ireland, the English may have been able to depopulate the Irish through starvation and resettlements. Without the potato, European populations may have suffered severe losses from starvation and disease. Subsequent depopulation would have had direct effects on army requisitions and conscriptions, giving countries with high populations an edge in war and in long-term conflicts. Germany and its history may have been drastically different under the conquering armies of France, Austria, and Russia. The European population boom would have been non-existent, hindering expansion into the New World. Our world today. General John Pershing said, "Infantry wins battles, logistics win wars." In the present day, supply chains are the cornerstone of modern convenience. Without a system of supply, there is no system of sustainment. Without a supply of food, there is only death. McNeil makes a compelling argument for the importance of the potato and its effect on history. This simple vegetable is partially responsible for the world we know today, both the good and the bad. The influence of the potato on rural and poor populations proved the power of the plant. Governments across the world saw this impact and cultivated it to feed their nations and armies. Populations continue to rise even in the face of devastating conflict. Without it, Spain would never have become a world power. The Irish would never have flourished, and the English would have been able to push their influence abroad without the hindrance of Spain. The communities of Prussia would not have been able to survive the repeated onslaughts of their invaders, and the subsequent wars, though much smaller and probably shorter in length, would have further depopulated Europe, decreasing the need for expansion both in wealth and territory. In essence, the world as we know it may have been much smaller. However, these events were predicated on the notion that Pizarro would not have utilized whatever means he could to get more wealth. For him and his band, this meant finding a way to feed those digging in the mountains. McNeil makes no comment either way if Pizarro would have simply moved on or stayed. Obviously, history shows us the latter. In reviewing the history of the potato and its effects on our world today, it is interesting to see how something so trivial at the time should be so valuable and have such an impact on world history.